On air, online, on demand, from New York City, connected with the world. Here's Tom Sullivan.
Yeah, here we are. Happy Tuesday to you on this 21st day of November, 2017. My name is Tom Sullivan, and, well, we got into a couple years back, we were doing a number of shows on net neutrality, and a lot of people, including me, were going, I'm not sure if I'm for it or not. So it took a little time to ramp up, and this was because of the fact that the internet, which was created for us, commercially available internet, goes back to the 1990s. And President Clinton was in the White House, and Newt Gingrich and the Republicans had control of the Congress, and they passed something called the Telecommunications Act of 1996. And what President Clinton said at that time was he was signing it to preserve the vibrant and competitive free market that presently exists for the internet. He said that the internet would be unfettered by federal or state regulation. Yes, this was the beginning of the internet exploding. Because they basically said, we are going to take our hands off, we are not going to over-regulate you, and as a result, it wound up being the greatest free market success story in our lifetime. Private companies invested $1.5 trillion over the last 20 years to build out the internet. And they did not ask anybody's permission, nor did they have to ask anybody's permission. It was up to investors and innovators, and all kinds of companies were created that have changed the way that you and I live our lives. That was fine. That goes back to the 1990s, but that all changed, and Ajit Pai, who is the new chairman of the FCC, Federal Communication Commission, wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal today about exactly this, and he says in 2014, it all changed. That's when President Obama publicly pressured the FCC to reject the open market, free market-based approach. He wanted government regulation. And so they came up with something called net neutrality. And it's just vague enough to where people are going, I'm not quite sure. That sounds good, net neutrality. That sounds okay. What it did was it basically created a regulatory framework that was designed in the 1930s to rein in AT&T. Because AT&T had a monopoly, and so they regulated the bejeebies out of AT&T until the 1980s when the federal courts broke them up. And ever since then, our communications have become cheaper and better than ever before. But President Obama wanted this internet regulated under, it's called Title II. This came from the 1930s. So since that went into effect, and the way the Federal Communication Commission works is there are five commissioners. And if there's a Republican in the White House, you got three Republicans and two Democrats. While there's a Democrat in the White House, you get three Democrats and two Republicans. So it's shifted from a majority Democrat to a majority Republican. And in the 2 years since the FCC said, oh, no, we're going to regulate the internet, broadband investment dropped almost 6%. The first time that the expansion and money spent on the internet went down instead of up. And so for a lot of small internet service providers, they're having a hard time even surviving because of all the rules and regulations. And a lot of the money that they have to spend on complying with the rules and regulations is money that they cannot expand their service, especially wireless service providers out in rural America. 80% of the internet service providers that are out in rural America said their members incurred additional expense, which has delayed or reduced network expansion. So what it has done over the last 2.5 years is it has restricted expansion instead. So a lot of companies just said, we're not going to invest. There were 19 cities that, yeah, city-owned nonprofits that wanted to have their own wireless system for their cities. Remember the stories about those? They were going to build out a wireless system in San Francisco, and they were going to do one in Kansas City, and there were a bunch of places where the cities were going to, they wanted to have broadband wireless. They wanted to have expansion of the internet. Well, because of the heavy regulations that came along, all of those cities delayed or are holding off on rolling out their service because they can't afford to deal with the regulations. So Ajit Pai says what he's proposing, this will all be voted on December 14th, and I think it's going to pass. I think his two fellow Republican commissioners along with him will give it a 3-2 vote. It comes down to one of these Republicans think, and even President Clinton thought, competition, less regulation would be a good thing. And it turned out to be sensational. But Democrats now are of the mindset, this isn't Bill Clinton's Democrat Party, that the more government, the better. So Ajit Pai says the FCC, under their new rules they're going to vote on December 14th, will simply require internet service providers to be transparent so that you can buy the plan that is best for you. What a concept. So he warns, he says, in the next few weeks, anti-market ideologues are going to try to scare you. They'll argue that government control is the only way to assure a free and open internet. They'll assert that repealing utility-style regulations will destroy the internet and harm innovation. They'll allege that free speech online is at risk. He says, don't fall for it. We have proof, he says, that the markets work. For almost 2 decades, the United States had a free and open internet without these heavy-handed rules. There was no market failure before 2015. Americans were not living in a digital dystopia before the FCC seized power. To the contrary, millions of us enjoyed an online economy that was at the envy of the world. They experienced the most powerful platform ever seen for permissionless innovation. They just built the platforms. They didn't need to ask permission. So this is a big vote. It's only been a couple of years, but in a couple of years, innovation, investment in the internet has gone down rather dramatically after expanding historically large expansion from the time it was first created back in the 1990s. So you're going to hear more about this net neutrality. And what it comes down to, again, is you've got, it's not big versus small. This is basically content providers versus people who own the pipes, people who have built the highways. And they're all big companies. The content providers are the big television studios, the NBCs, the Comcast, the Fox, ABC, you name it. Netflix, those are all content. HBO, all content. The people that own the pipes, the Googles of the world, the people that are Cisco Systems. There's a variety of them that own the pipes. So, what the regulations, if I can put it in highway form, is the people that built the highways with their own money primarily have said, look it, you can't come driving down the highway with a truck that takes up four of the five lanes. You can't do it. You can, but we're going to charge a permit fee. You're going to have to pay more if you hog the highway. And the content providers, like Netflix, a perfect example, they're saying, but that means it's going to cost us more to send our movies out on the internet. So it's big companies versus big companies. And I'm not sure where you sit about all of this, other than the fact that the innovation for building more highways and repairing and fixing and widening the highways, that investment is going to go straight downhill, has been going downhill since they passed all these regulations saying anybody that wants to drive down the highway, it doesn't matter if you have a truck that is five lanes wide. Doesn't matter. You have to be treated the same as somebody that has a bicycle going down the highway. So here we are. And again, and every time I've done a show on this, I get very, very strong opinions both for and against net neutrality. Agent Pai is portraying this as basically he's getting rid of government regulations, most of them. There's still going to be an oversight. He's reducing government involvement as compared to the last FCC commissioner who wanted more government involvement. Agent Pike argues the 2015 rules stifled investment and innovation in what is still baby steps in this developing wireless broadband industry. So, providers were worried that the government could do all kinds of rate regulation like it's a utility, all kinds of other new government rules. Agent Pai saying, let's get the government out of this and let the industry develop however they want to develop. I don't know if you have an opinion on it. Some of you in the tech world certainly do. Phone number is 855-295-6600. 855-295-6600. Phone numbers, everything you can find on my website, which is TomSullivan.com.
Unpredictable, unprecedented, undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
All right, so net neutrality is going to be voted on December 14th. The FCC is back in the hands of a majority of conservative commissioners, and they want to get government out and let the internet go back to doing what they do without a lot of government regulations. Agree or disagree? Phone number is 855-295-6600. Steve in Fallon, Nevada. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Tom.
Hi.
I just wanted to tell you that Google doesn't own any of the backbone of the internet. They just own
data centers, cloud data centers. Right, right. You are right. That was a bad example for me to use.
They're in the same group that lobbied Obama, actually spent a lot of cash on campaigns and stuff just to get, in the front of the line for as a crony capitalist.
It would be, I should have used AT&T, telephone company. The people with the pipes, the wires, whatever the communication skills. I presume you agree with me on that. Thank you, because Google is part of one of the content providers. It's really the people with the pipes versus the people with the content, isn't it? Hello?
Hello, Tom. I don't listen to you on the radio. I listen to a local radio station, and somehow I couldn't get it silenced, so it was talking over me.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Fine.
My fault. Now, it's the first time I've used this to call a radio station, so or a radio program. What I meant was that Google is in the same group as Facebook and Netflix,
right,
as, you know, content providers, and they did not want to have to basically have the actual internet service providers and the people that supply the backbone of the internet to be able to throttle their content without making them pay for it. Their arguments against our Fournette neutrality is that they felt that it gave the open internet gave people like AT&T and their other companies that provide the actual fiber optic cables and microwave communications and all that for this, that they didn't want them to be able to charge a reasonable fee. And that's why the investment in those and that kind of hardware dropped in the last couple of years. So I just wanted to mention that.
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. And just for your edification, I don't know if my affiliate in the Reno Carson City area, KKFT is 99.1 FM, whether you can get them over in Fallon or not. You should be able to. But anyway,
it depends on where you are.
I got you. All right.
I can kind of pick it up at my house, but
yeah?
I can't as I drive into town. Their signal drops out.
There's a few big hills around your part of the country. So this is where I tend to go. Less regulation, the better, as it gave the internet a chance to grow dramatically. But more importantly was when they broke up AT&T and let them kind of go wild out there, our communications systems have improved dramatically. So why would we want to go back and re-regulate the AT&Ts, the Verizons, and all the others that have the pipes and the wires? It seems like we already learned that lesson after between 1930 and 1985.
Yeah, I agree with you. And essentially what it is you got some crony capitalists that want to get to the, you know, they want to get more, a greater share. And I have, posted comments on articles on, let's say like CNET, where they talk about net neutrality and what's going, you know, the current FCC going to vote on eliminating net neutrality, or eliminating, let's say, monopoly regulation, for the internet, and of course on those forums, it's about 95% pro net neutrality. But then my comment is. As a consumer, user of the internet, I'm a user who does not use stream movies. I do Netflix, but I don't mind paying for it. So it's not a big deal where I use a lot of data. And so as a normal average user, I would wind up paying more for my internet service.
Steve, I got to run, but thank you.
From New York City to the world, Tom Sullivan.
Yep. So besides that, the FCC is also very busy. I know it's we're kind of talking shop here a little bit, but not only are they going to vote on net neutrality, which I am glad that they're going to get rid of it. I think when they broke up AT&T, that's when all the communication innovation came along. AT&T, Bell Labs had the cell phone in their secret closet for many, many, many years, but they could not bring it out because of regulation. Once AT&T was broken up, Bell Labs was able to say, hey, guess what we've got? We got this thing called a cellular phone, and it goes off of these cell towers, and we'll build these cell towers, and it just, look where we are with communications compared to where we were 30 years ago, 20 years ago. So I see the same thing with the internet, and that's why I always lean towards less government, but that's what this is, more government versus less government. And I think if for people who say, well, but I only have one provider. There's only one cable in the street that I can use for my internet. Well, you don't want to make it so that nobody will invest and put more cables in. If you give them less regulation, maybe you'll get more companies to come along, more internet service providers to provide access to you. So AgiPi explains what it is that they are trying to do.
It is essentially my proposal to repeal the Obama administration's heavy-handed regulations adopted 2 years ago on a party-line vote that regulated the internet. And what I'm proposing to do is to get rid of those regulations and to return to the bipartisan light-touch framework that governed the internet, starting in the Clinton administration and continuing all the way to 2015.
Yeah, started with Bill Clinton. So he goes on to say they're just putting things back the way they used to be.
Well, I would just say that the past is going to be prologue, that we had a free and open internet before these regulations were imposed in 2015. We will have a free and open internet along with massive investment in infrastructure, more innovation, and just better, faster, and cheaper services going forward. So I think it's a win for everybody.
I do too. And you'll get massive investment, which will provide more providers, which will make more competition, which means you'll be able to decide which internet service provider you want to use, which one gives you the best service, which one gives you the best price. It gives you choice where under the rules they passed in, started 2014, passed in 2015, they tied all that up and said, no. That's why investment went down almost 6%. Well, he said the big tech companies like Facebook would not exist if they had to try to start what they started under the rules that are currently in effect.
Well, I would say that innovation thrives the most when you have a light touch framework, such as the one that we had for 20 years. For example, Facebook and Amazon and Netflix and Google, those are now globally known names and brands, but they didn't exist 20 years ago, and they developed precisely because we had a free market approach. We let all kinds of business models thrive and then took action as necessary against any competitive behavior, but we didn't preemptively regulate everything like a slow-moving utility. Had we done that, I dare say that a lot of these companies wouldn't have gotten off the ground or certainly wouldn't have grown so quickly.
Yeah, a slow-moving utility was what it would have been. But so this is one of those government agencies that will swing back and forth depending upon who's in the White House. Right now, it's Republican dominated. The other thing, this is going to be voted on December 14th. The other thing that is more about shop talk for me is that last week the FCC voted 3-2 to basically go back to the way the rules were before 1975, when it comes to ownership of newspapers, television stations, and radio stations. And what it's called cross-ownership rules. And back in 1975, they said, if you cannot have a newspaper and a broadcast cross-ownership in the same community, in the same market. And what I understand exactly what they were talking about, actually the rule made some sense. Because at the time, you could not have a newspaper, a daily newspaper, and a AM, FM, or TV station in the same market because it would absolutely be one voice and one voice only in your community. Nobody else. That would be it. Whoever owned that TV station, radio station, and newspaper had one would be able to give their side of the story, their kind of news to you, no matter what you felt personally. But that was 1975. Again, the internet has changed everything. And you can go on cable television. You can get left-leaning cable. You can get right-leaning cable. You can get entertainment that goes all the way from the Hallmark Channel to the Playboy Channel. You can get everything and anything you want now. And when it comes to the internet, you can find whatever news information. A lot of you are listening to this radio show on a local radio station with an antenna in your community. But there's also a lot of you that are listening over the internet on your smartphones, on a podcast. So we now have choices that we did not have in 1975. So what's happened since 1975? Think about it. Who has been hurt since 1975? More than anybody, it's the newspapers. The newspapers have been decimated from where they were in 1975. There's a lot of them that have just flat gone out of business. So for many communities, you don't have a lot of two newspaper towns anymore. You have some, but not many. So you only have one voice, and it's that newspaper. And they're laying off people right and left. And they've got small news staff, so they really can't cover the local news like they used to do. And it's the same thing with radio stations, TV stations. They've all had to cut back. But if you own a newspaper, you could have survived and been a lot stronger if you also were able to own a TV station or a radio station that would have given you additional revenues, which would have supplemented the building of your news staff into something that was halfway decent. So it has the newspapers have been killed by this regulation they passed in 1975 saying you cannot have cross-ownership. As of last week, all that changed. They put it all back together again. So now, for us in the broadcast industry, we're all waiting and watching to see what's going to happen. Who's going to buy whom? And the consolidation that I think is going to take place in the media, in the broadcast and print media, is going to be dramatic now that they put these rules back together again, basically saying, do what you want to do. Because you and I have choices. If you're in a town where you've got a newspaper that buys the radio station, buys the TV station, and you don't like what they have to say, you've got plenty of opportunity to go get your information from somebody else. So I think for the newspapers primarily, this is a godsend. And for, maybe you're nervous about that going, I don't know. A lot of you don't remember what it was like when TV and radio and newspapers were owned by the same owner. And in those days, the owner was usually a local business person, a local family that owned all of the media in town. But now the media has become very corporate. There's only a handful of major television and radio companies in the nation, and really only a handful of real newspaper companies in the nation as well. So we'll see what happens, but they're making, they made a big change last week. It was kind of an insider thing, but I think you'll start noticing media consolidations picking up steam in 2018. All right, phone number here is 855-295-6600. We will be right back.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan. On air, online, on demand.
Speaking of radio, so last night I was in the car heading home after the show, and yeah, there it is. There's Christmas music. Yes. Yes, there's a bunch of Christmas stations now, 24/7. So, a British psychologist says that continuous playing of Christmas music in the car or at stores reminds people of all the things they need to do before the holiday arrives. So, what it's doing is it's bad for your mental health, according to this psychologist. Said it, listening to Christmas music could harm a person's mental health. By the way, the psychologist, you know what the psychologist's name is? She's a clinical psychologist. Her name is Linda Blair. Wasn't she the one in The Exorcism or one of those? Anyway, she says that the continuous playing of Christmas music in the car or at stores reminds people of all these things you got to do. Says you're simply spending all of your energy trying not to hear what you're hearing. Says store workers were more at risk of being mentally drained by the array of cheerful music. The same songs being played constantly make it hard for employees to tune it out and unable to focus on anything else. That Christmas music is likely to irritate people if it's played too loudly or too early. So, Tampa Bay Times reported that Best Buy began playing holiday music on October 22nd. A few days later, other stores such as Sears, Ulta, and Michaels followed suit. Mood Media's programming executive told Tampa Bay Times that he urges stores to stop playing novelty music because it could annoy customers. He said, the one I have in mind is the 12 days of Christmas. Once I'm at the third day, I'm counting how many days are left. You don't want any songs that feel like they last for 12 days. So as far as when is it okay to start listening to Christmas music, according to the Tampa Bay Times, 11% say after Halloween. Yeah, they're going. 54% say wait until after Thanksgiving. And 24% say, would you wait until at least December 1st? 11% say they don't like it any time. There is a great guy that I worked with years ago. Goes by the initials of Dana Hess, who was working at one of the FM stations in the group of stations where I worked. And by the time Christmas came around, they were all Christmas all the time this time of the year. By the time Christmas came around, he was ready to pull his hair out. In fact, I think he lost a lot of his hair by all that Christmas music. He said, I have a rule at home. No Christmas music. None. So, Dana, there's a scientific explanation for it. You're not the only one out there. So, Linda Blair, the psychologist, says that it's not good for you. What else we got in the radio stack here today? This isn't radio, but this is about, again, Trump doing away with regulations. When it comes to restaurant tipping, Labor Department has notified the Office of Management and Budget intends to rescind an Obama-era rule preventing restaurant owners from pooling servers' tips with kitchen staff. The rule specified that tips belong solely to the server. The Trump administration wants restaurant owners to once again be able to decide how to run their restaurant. And if they want to redistribute the tips among the kitchen staff, so be it. I can't imagine. Why would the Labor Department get involved with telling you how to run your restaurant, right down to no? Those tips cannot go to the kitchen staff. They can only go to the person who gets the tip. So anyway, the National Restaurant Association, which favors pooled tips as a way to boost competition for kitchen staff rather than paying cooks and dishwashers higher wages. Congress amended the Fair Labor Standards Act in 1974 to allow employers to pay tipped workers less than the federal minimum wage if the tips made up the difference. 2010, federal court ruled that if an employer paid tip workers at least a federal minimum wage, it can require that the tips be shared among the entire staff. This is micromanaging how some poor person out there trying to get by running a restaurant has to follow the tip rules set by the government. So, Trump administration would like to make this whole thing moot by returning restaurant owners to the driver's seat. I'm with getting rid of this rule. Let them decide. If you are a restaurant owner, you decide how you're going to split the tips up. You've got to keep your people happy. And I presume when they required that you split it with everybody in the restaurant, that meant that the people that were actually the servers out there working for less than minimum wage, working on tips, all of a sudden had to split their tips with everybody in the back? I'm sure they weren't very happy. So just get out of the way, government, and let restaurant owners do whatever they want to do. All right. Wall Street was full band today because I didn't check to see whether I think this is. I think this is a new record high. If not, we're just a couple of points off of it. But I believe the Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P all hitting new records today. I know they did intraday. Dow finishing up 160 points today to 23,590. The S&P 500 up 16 points. NASDAQ up 71 points. Oil up a little, up to $57 a barrel. And the price of gold is at $1,280 for 1 ounce. On the comment line, this caller knows why people are okay with shoplifting.
Hey, Tom, the Democrats never have a problem with shoplifting. They've been taking other people's property for a long time.
That's true. That's a good point. No problem. I'll just take your property. And this caller disagrees with my take on net neutrality.
Tom, I believe you have a fundamental misunderstanding of how the environment in the internet is actually lived. It's not a highway like you're describing. It's actually more akin to...
What? Akin to what? You didn't finish. I don't know. I can't help you. I mean, if you're going to hang up right when you leave, is right on the edge. It's not the highway. It's akin to, well, we'll have to imagine what it was that he was going to say. All right, we're out of here for today. We're here tomorrow. Hope you are, too. We'll see you then.